This episode is brought to you by LifeLock. Between two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN, you try to be in control of how your info is protected. But many other places also have it, and they might not be as careful. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats. If your identity is stolen, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/podcast for 40% off. Terms apply.
Hi, this is Tony Ruggiero, and you're listening to the Tour Coach Podcast. Well, we're rolling into fall here on the Tour Coach. And for the fall, just like we've been doing for the last couple of years here on the Tour Coach, I'm going to be bringing you lots of chats, interviews, roundtable discussions on what we do, how we do it, from players to coaches to caddies, students. All of this comes from my travels that are on tour or to Old Palm or from here in Mobile or wherever it is I go around this country or around the world teaching and coaching at the game of golf that I love. So hopefully if you listen, you're going to like what you hear. There's lots and lots of info and content coming your way that I think are going to help all of you understand and play the game even better or coach the game. We've got so many coaches that listen to this Tour Coach podcast. So appreciate all of you that have gone along with me on this journey for the Tour Coach. I didn't necessarily know where I was going with it when I started this, when the Dew Sweepers radio show ended on XM Sirius. But I can tell you that it has given me so much freedom and creativity to be able to talk a little more and a little more in depth and bring all of you a behind the scenes, inside the ropes look at what me and my team do and the people that we associate with it and how you can use us as a resource to help you get better at the game of golf. Look, and if you like what you hear on the Tour Coach, also make sure you check out our Pro Work video series, which is available for you on YouTube and my YouTube channel. If you just go on YouTube and type in Pro Work, it'll pull up the episodes that are out there. Some really, really great stuff that takes you behind the scenes and inside the ropes. And before I let you go to the Tour Coach, special thanks to my sponsors that have all been with me for such a long time. Srixon Golf, been with them over 20 years. Can't find anybody better in the equipment side of the world. Bushnell Golf, such a big part of what we're doing with Pro Work and what I do day to day, especially with the Launch Pro. Vineyard Vines, Ian and Shep, Amber and the folks there. Always keep me looking great. We've been such great partners for a good long time. And lastly, McConnell Automotive here in Mobile, Alabama. Mitch McConnell and the gang, there's nobody that has supported me longer. I mean, they're unbelievable. And the folks at Buick GMC for supporting the Dew Sweepers radio show, as well as the Tour Coach, and as well as Pro Work. So check out McConnell Automotive and Buick GMC. And lastly, my friend Blaine Stokely and Stokely's Midtown Garden Express here in Mobile. Those folks keep the Dew Sweepers and keep the Pro Work and the Tour Coach and all of our content alive and well for all of you that love the game and want to learn. Enjoy the Tour Coach podcast, which is coming your way right now. All right, so we had a rainy afternoon here across the South. So I thought we'd crank out a Tour Coach podcast. I was texting and talking with my boy Jackson Corder. Jackson is here. Jackson, say hello.
Tony, thanks for having me. How we doing?
Doing great, Jackson. In fact, we talked about your dad on the last podcast. Coop and I and everybody gave him a shout out because we hadn't had you on in a while.
I appreciate that. He's your biggest fan.
Oh, I'm telling you, I wish if we had 2 million Tom Courts, we'd be going somewhere. And Wayno the Drano is joining us. We hadn't had Wayno on in a while, and Wayno's recovering from a massive leg injury. We call him Wayne the Straight Leg Flint right now. Wayno, how you doing, bud?
Well, I've actually been a little better at times, a little more nimble on my feet than I am right now, but I'm trying to get better.
I'm going to stop you right there. I don't know that anybody, anytime any of us have ever talked, we've said, you know, Wayne, he's nimble on his feet. I mean, Jackson, have you ever at any of the retreats said, let's put Wayne over there because he's nimble on his feet?
I don't know, T. He might surprise you on some of those balance discs.
I can't wait. Right. Stay tuned, everybody. We're going to do an Instagram Live on this. So I thought this would be kind of cool because we were all texting and talking, and we've obviously all spent a lot of time together. And But, you know, obviously Wayne and Hank, Hank and then Wayne together were huge influences on me and mentors of me. And Jackson, obviously, you've mentored under and trained under myself and Wayne. And I thought it'd be kind of cool on this rainy day. Let's talk a little bit about our experiences together and talk a little bit about just, you know, what we think's important in golf instruction and what we think's important when it comes to developing, you know, to developing players. And I also promise I'd sneak in a few pet peeves and things that I see on Instagram that some of these teachers do that piss me off because Jackson wants me to talk about that. But you love it, don't you, Jackson?
I love getting you fired up.
Yeah, I get fired up easy. So anyways, so I'm just going to start it. And I think that, you know, obviously you see this in the stuff that I put out and the stuff that I've learned. And what got me thinking about this podcast was the other day, Wayne sent me, and I in turn sent you, it was some notes from a lesson that Wayne had given a gentleman back in 94. Isn't that right, Wayne?
Wow. That's right. That's right.
Right? Yeah. Country Club of Birmingham member. I've actually given the guy a couple lessons when he came down to the Country Club of Mobile. And then I shared these notes with Jackson and Connor Luke. We'll give Connor a shout out. Talk a little bit about what you found on those notes, Wayno, and then Jackson, I want to hear what you thought about them as well.
Well, you know, Tony, you can remember way back when I would do a couple pages of notes every time I gave a person their first golf lesson. And it was kind of like a little bit of a mini playbook, if you will. Here's what I'm going to try to cover over an extended period of time. Here's how I think the club should work, and here's how I think your body should work, and here's what we want the ball to do. And you know, we want to try to get our pre-swing fundamentals good, and you know, have good grip, aim, posture, ball position. Kind of like a little mini roadmap of what we're gonna focus on and learn to do, and to cover all aspects of how everything will work and work together. And, you know, lo and behold, some people, they just would throw them in the garbage can right off the bat. But, you know, as I've done this for a long period of time now, I'm starting to see some people bring those notes back. And, you know, I used to always put the date on them. And so, you know, you got some notes from 25, 30 years ago that are, you know, surprisingly still pretty doggone accurate. And, you know, with all the information that's come out over time with the measuring devices that we have now, all the swing catalysts and pressure plates and all those things that can measure. And a lot of those old notes, the information on them is really, really good. You know, it just kind of shows that I was a lucky guy way back when I was being mentored by some of the great old teachers that a number of them have passed away now, but you know, their information was good. And they were ahead of their time, and we talked about that with Hank, and you know, he was ahead of his time on a lot of the stuff, and it's really interesting to look back on it and fun to share it with the young guys and help them develop their skills, you know. So
yeah,
pretty cool for me.
You know, people ask me all the time, like, how has my teaching evolved or changed? And I'm gonna throw this to you, Jackson, but And again, I think I was fortunate. I think that, you know, obviously I learned early on, I'll never forget, you know, you and Hank both talked to me about the pivot being the engine of the golf swing. And at the time I was making zero money. I had no money. And I mean, my car was repossessed. And remember that old Dodge Intrepid I had, Wayno, that we left on the side of 98 when it broke down?
But I remember that.
Yeah, right. And I mean, you know, and you guys were like, hey, if you can teach people to turn back and turn through, obviously there's more to it, but heck, you're going to make a living. And I mean, again, I did it out of necessity, but I started seeing that getting people's hands on there, getting square club faces, helping people learn to rotate back and through and get the low point out in front of the ball made at that point. I mean, obviously I wasn't teaching, you know, I was teaching anybody that would walk into Sandestin Beach Resort And you had mostly recreational golfers, not very many good players. But it, you know, I just was trying to make a living, and I started doing that. And you know, I mean, I was fortunate. I mean, I made a decent living for me at that time, and it worked. And that kind of sent me on this, you know, pursuit of like, well, heck, why is it working? And what can I do to get better at it and understand it more? And, you know, Jackson, I think you've seen that in watching Wayne and I both over the years. And, you know, I think we've stayed true to the things that we think are important. And one of the things I've told you, and Wayne said the same thing to me, Hank said it to me, and I've said it to other young teachers, is like, I think it's important to sit down and write down the things that you think are important about the golf swing. If you're teaching or you're playing, you're aspiring to get better. I think we're sitting down and actually writing it down, Wayne, like you did in the 90s with me and you did for that gentleman, I think it's a great exercise.
Yeah, Tony, I love it for, you know, personally, there were two reasons. You know, obviously my coaching and being mentored under you guys, it created a great picture of understanding the golf swing, because I came in thinking I knew a bunch and really I knew nothing, right? Nor did I know how to structure it and give a lesson, which I think is what, you know, Wayne depicted really well with those notes. And I think also on a student coach relationship, it gets both parties to buy in, right? If you can get the player to understand that this is what we're doing right now, but this is where we're going. And then it also kind of gives some responsibility to the coach to kind of stay on that target and on that path. And I think then both pictures from the coach and the player become married. And you do see some really good results from there, right? Now, I'll never forget when I got down to Lakewood for the first time and I was interviewing with you guys. That was one of the first things you did that night was you gave me your book. And in it was, you know, Wayne's lesson in there. And I would agree that a lot of that is what I teach and what I try to get my players to buy into now. And it's awesome to see that continue. And as I've learned and maybe grown in my knowledge across the board, it's kind of figuring out where those pieces apply to what you guys had depicted then. And it's just exposed me to reach players who communicate differently, who learn differently and see things different. But it shapes my picture as well as the players. And then, like I said, it helps us both buy in a little bit to the process of getting better, because getting better at golf is difficult. But man, that process can be a bunch of fun when you have a good relationship and understanding.
Well, you know, I was going to say this, our good friend Will McFadden, who just turned pro, was on last week's podcast. He was down, excuse me, at Old Palm with us. We were talking about a junior here in Mobile, and that's a good junior. He goes to another guy, but we were talking about how, you know, this kid will practice and he takes a lesson and he does okay, but then, you know, he gets way out of sorts real quick. And we had the talk about, you know, why that happens, Wayno, and I think one of the things that I learned from you and from Hank, but I watched. For the record, like, I watched a zillion lessons of yours before I ever started teaching full time. I would sit out there at Deer Valley or at Chase Lake, and I just watched a million of your golf lessons. But one thing I learned was that I think when the student gets off track real easy, and so if you're a student or you're a player, I think a lot of it's because a lot of teachers don't take the time to really explain to the student what they're working on and why. They tell them to do something, but they don't really tell them why and what the effect's going to be on the golf ball. You agree with that, Wayno?
I do, Tony. And I think, you know, I think that's the good thing about writing some stuff down, you know, with your student, especially early on, because, you know, we all give golf lessons and sometimes they're really good ones. And then some days we give a lesson or two and you're like, man, why didn't I get that guy hitting it a little bit better today? You know, I mean, I always look at myself first, you know, what did I do wrong? And I'm sure the student feels the same way if they don't have a, you know, what they perceive as a great day for them. If you don't, I think that I kind of think having those notes, it kind of gets everybody invested into one thing. And I think a student is more apt to stay on it if they have a little bit of a roadmap to go by. and you know, they'll stick with it a little bit longer. And you know, I did that out of necessity because I'd taught so much golf, and at the end of the year, I felt like I'd done a good job, but I didn't have as many lessons, you know, going through the winter as I wanted. So I took a good hard look at myself and, you know, said, what am I doing wrong? And, you know, I kind of figured out that I was just, you know, try this, try that, as so many young teachers will do. I was trying the best I could with the knowledge that I had. And I said, I got to do something different to retain more of these clients. And when I started making that first lesson of mine, that was a little bit of a roadmap, like I said earlier, I think that, you know, made all the difference in the world, because everything got more committed, everything got more detailed, if you will, that we had something we were definitely trying to get done in many facets of the game, you know, your body and your club, and there was all kinds of things we were trying to make work together. And it got everything. It got me more committed to my craft. It got the student a little bit more committed to their program, if you will. And, you know, through the good fundamentals that were on those pieces of paper and the commitment, it just took everything to another level. And you know, the next year I had one of my better early years of teaching. And, you know, that's when you were, you know, coming out and watching me. And, you know, that's kind of when the Deer Valley Day started. And man, so many tour guys ended up going through Deer Valley. I mean, if you really sat back and think about it, it was crazy at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, how many good players went through that little old country driving range, you know, and it was nuts. But 3, 4, 5 guys ended up playing the PGA Tour, and, you know, obviously a bunch of D1 golfers, you know.
Yeah.
And It was a crazy, crazy great time, you know, early in my career, for sure.
So, Jackson, let's turn it to you. Like, I obviously took the stuff from HJ, from Wayne, from Tom Ness. You know, the list goes on. But those, you know, especially early on, I would say those were the three people that – and Woody, Mark Wood, those would be the four people that had the biggest influences on me. How did you I think, Wayne, you've been around me long – I mean, we've – worked together, taught together, you mentored me, like but I've certainly taken that stuff and I've turned it into my own, right, of what I
Absolutely.
Think and
yes.
And,
yes.
And again, and how have you taken the stuff that I'm curious, what, how have you taken the stuff that you've been exposed to and turned it into your own, and how is this going to help the people that come see you or that are listening to us?
Good question.
I'm on a roll today. I'm on a roll today, by the way.
Per usual. I got a couple answers. I think, you know, the first way that I learned it and was able to kind of make it my own was actually just hanging out with you at the country club Mobile or wherever we would go, and you would make me jump in there and teach the lesson. Right? Now, if I did mess up or I was going sideways, you'd pull me out of there and you'd get in there and you'd send him on the right path. So I think having that hands-on application was critical for me at a young age. And I learned a ton by trying this and trying to follow what you guys did, seeing what would work and what wasn't good, and then also having you there to either acknowledge or fix what I was doing. So I think that was a huge piece of it. And then I would say the way I've maybe made it my own brand and why I love golf instruction so much, especially developing, you know, juniors and good players, is I had no direction when I was playing golf. I took some lessons, but I just didn't know how to play the game, how to get better, nor how to structure myself so that I was planning it around tournament season and stay on path like Wayne had talked about being committed. And so I think with a better understanding of maybe technical aspects and how to get people to improve, I think from there, maybe I've done an okay job at coaching people away from the tee box, right? Maybe coaching them on how to practice and how to take things to the golf course, because that was a struggle for me, is working on something and then taking it to the golf course and not searching and not deviating from the plan. And also just teaching them how to play golf and control shots and score when they're on the golf course, whether it's going good or maybe you don't have control of the golf ball or the same feels that you had the other day on the range when it was good. So I think that's kind of the direction and the feelings that I've had recently in my coaching, but you both have done really good at also making me be reflective and see what I am doing good and bad, like Wayne had said he did that winter. You know, if you're not improving, you're getting worse. And I think that's something that I'm always scared of is not getting better and having that quest, not only for knowledge, but how can I improve my craft and get the player in front of me, because everybody's a little bit different, but get that player in front of me to understand the information and shoot lower scores, however that may be.
That's you know, cool. Tony, I think that's a constant, because I'm still trying to make sure I'm getting better and not getting worse. You know, I mean, you and I talk about that all the time, and I think that's what having a program or having, you know, not that you teach the same exact thing every second of every day, but having fundamentals that you think are very important and a product that you're trying to put out as your own product. I think that's the benefit of a young teacher sitting down and like you said, writing those things down that matter, because I still do that to this day. I mean, I did a big clinic this morning for a bunch of the veterans here. I help with it a couple times a year, and I didn't do anything today but putting, because I'm kind of a little bit limited to what I can do right now. But
You're not as nimble as we think you are.
That's right, exactly. And you know, so I did that, you know, for a couple hours this morning, and it's the first, you know, clinic I've done like that in, you know, in probably a couple months now, you know, because I've been out of pocket, and I was like, you know, what did I do that I think I could have done better? And you know, I had another younger guy that teaches with me, and I kind of threw him out there and let him try to do some of the talking, and then when we got done, we talked for about a half hour, and he said, "Now, is that all you would ever put out there?" And I said, "Well, I would have added a little bit of this and a little bit of that." And, you know, you guys have all heard me talk about some of my putting things. And I said, I probably would have got around to that, you know, that piece of information. But, you know, maybe in this setting, these were all beginning golfers that were just trying to start out learning the game as retired veterans, you know. And so it wasn't as complicated as maybe sometimes it could get, but I still think you have to put the good information out there. And I do think, as Jackson said, I think you have to take a good hard look at yourself all the time and figure out, am I getting better or am I getting worse? And if you feel like you're a little stagnant, I think you gotta, you know, do what you and I, Tony, have always done. We bounce a lot of ideas off of each other. We talk all the time, and you know, we talk about times that we were together with Hank or together with Tom Ness, and we kind of rehash some of those old things that we've learned over the years, and you know, it kind of gets us refocused and recommitted to what we're doing.
I think too, one of the reasons that I think it's important to write down what you believe about the golf swing or what you think's important, and I think it's important to even do that as a player to understand, hey, these are the things I need to do and I need to understand. But as I think that there's this rash of people out there that they're, and you guys hammered me about it when you would say don't memorize the test questions. But like not everybody, but a majority of people are looking for somebody to tell them that it's, you can just tweak what the hell you're doing and you're going to be okay. We've measured you. We've done this. Whatever. Swing your swing. And you're going to be okay. And I think that's a bunch of crap. Like, I think the path to being great at teaching or being great as a player is that there's certain things you have to do. And as a coach, it's my job to coach you and teach you to get better at them. And I just don't think they're shortcuts. I don't think that, you know what, if you're not very good at turning behind it, well, you know what, my job's to teach you to turn behind it. Because you know what, nobody worth the shit leans on their left leg and jumps at it, right? So,
right.
Like, I mean, that's our job. That's our job. And I'm passionate about that, whether you're playing or you're teaching, you know. I think
it's a great segue into your pet peeves.
Well, but I think it's important, Wayne. You guys hammered me with it, right? Like, you know, there aren't shortcuts to getting better. And we've all seen that Saban I'm not an Alabama fan, everybody knows, but like, I'm a huge Saban fan, but like, man, that one, we're like, man, you know what? Like, there aren't options if you want to be great. There aren't.
Right.
Whether it's teaching or playing, there aren't any options. So if you go to somebody that's just going to tell you, you don't have to change, you don't have to do anything different to be a really good player, and we're just going to tweak this and you're going to be a lot better, well, I mean, they're full of shit.
Well, again, as Jackson said, that leans to the pet peeves. I mean, my pet peeve is when someone will come to me and I'll say, well, you know, what have you been working on? And they'll say, well, I took a lesson from this guy and that guy, and they wanted me to swing way out to the right. And I'll be like, okay, well, I want to try to swing it, you know, on the plane, you know, straight up the plane, straight down the plane, and then back up the plane going through. Well, so-and-so says I need to hit it more in to out. And I said, well, if we're going to learn something, why don't we just learn to do it right? I mean, why compound what you do wrong with an error on the other side? Now, I'm not saying the feeling might be if you're swinging way over the top and to the left and hitting big slices. I'm not saying the feeling might not be that you're swinging a little more end out, but the reality is, why don't we just learn to swing on plane, right? Mm-hmm. And that would be the pet peeve. I mean, why compound what you're already doing with something else that's really, really bad on the other end of the spectrum? That doesn't make any sense. I mean, that would be like driving home and driving in the left-hand ditch every time you're going home, and then you drive home the next night and you're real happy because you crashed the right side of your car in the right-hand ditch. Well, hell, you still didn't make it home. You know, that ain't no good either. You know, so why don't you just figure out how to drive and keep the car on the road, right? And so there I am with my pet peeves. So, there are no shortcuts. You have to learn to do things. Sometimes they take a while, and sometimes they're easier. But there are things that need to be accomplished to become an accomplished teacher or accomplished player. So let's put our nose to the grindstone and learn how to do those things, both as teachers and as players, you know?
And I think if you really want to get better, and there's so much information out there now, I mean, go look at people that are having success making people better, right? I'm going to bring one up. Michael Jacobs, right? Unbelievably scientific. I can't claim to say that I'm the smartest guy or understand all of it, but you look at what he's done with Padraig Harrington, and he's got a junior. Like, go watch his stuff and follow him, right? Don't follow a guy that puts a video up of somebody and just says, we got him hitting it faster, or puts video. My biggest pet peeve is putting videos of tour players that you don't teach up, right? Like, you know, that's my biggest pet peeve. I absolutely despise teachers that put videos of players up that they don't teach, or that they had 12 seconds with back 6 years ago, and they fired you because you weren't worth the damn, right? Like, that's my pet peeve. And sorry, I got off on the soapbox. Jackson, take over for me.
Why don't you shoot out one more pet peeve for us, T-Ball?
I mean, I think that really covers it. Like, I mean, you know, like, I really do. I think, like, you should, you shouldn't put videos out of play. I get what, like, a golf writer does, and it's about, look at this, it's analyzing this. I think just putting videos up of a tour player and then saying, this guy's struggling, this is what he should do, when you've never been in the room, you've never been on the tee, and you've couldn't find anybody to get your ass inside the ropes at a tour event. I think that's one. I think it's irresponsible, and two, I think it's just asking for attention because you're not good enough to teach somebody on your own. Jackson.
Yeah, and being inside the room, like you said, like you have no idea what the conversation is, what the baggage is this player has, mm-hmm. and what you guys are navigating through. That's a massive part of the learning and coaching process.
That's a lot of it. Yep.
You know, so I've covered my pet peeves. Is there any others I'm missing, Jackson?
There's a slew of them that you are missing, but I don't know if we have time for them all.
Well, I mean, but it all goes back to, I mean, you know, it all goes back to where we started, though. If you want to be really good at playing golf or teaching golf, I mean, you've got to figure out the things that you believe and that you know and that you're important to you, and you need to understand them, and you need to be able to communicate them, right?
Well, I definitely find that the further along I get in my career, having the ability to stand there and talk sensibly about what you're trying to get a person to do and why, and then tell them, after they learn to do it, where they're going to be going and what their ball's going to be doing. I mean, that takes time, that takes experience, but man, oh man, does it ever gain you a lot of trust with your students when you can tell them what's going to happen, and then they see that happen, then they're more apt to get in the program deeper with you because they'll, you know, this guy knows what he's talking about because he's already told me what's going to happen, and lo and behold, it happened. And you know, that just doesn't happen overnight. That happens with experience and time, but it happens when you have a good program of your own, of things that you believe in that are accurate, and then if students will do them, they will work. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. and that's, you know, there's a lot of times people are spitting information out to students, and hell, even if the student did it, it wouldn't work.
Right.
And so, you know, I mean, and I'm sure I've done that over the years, right? I'm not saying that everything I learned way back when was exactly right, but I taught what I thought I knew at that point, and I did the best I could. And have I changed some of my mind over the years? Well, of course. I think all great teachers, I'm not saying I'm great, but I think all good teachers that have done it for a while do understand that maybe some of the stuff they taught 15, 20 years ago maybe wasn't exactly right. Maybe it could have been said a little differently. Maybe the verbiage has changed over the years to be a little more accurate and a little more to the point, and in which case you can make your students better. And I think anyone who's taught for a long time would have to admit that, or they would the game would pass them by. I think it would pass them by and leave them in the dust, so to speak.
I think the biggest advantage of technology is, you know, it'll actually tell you if you're. I mean, you can't hide from the students anymore, right? I mean, like
right.
You can't tell a guy, oh, you got more into your left leg there. Well, I mean, if you got a swing catalyst or one of those force play, I mean, hell, it tells you, right? I mean, it, you know, you can't – the days right. of leaning on your six iron, like, you know, I mean, there's another pet peeve, you know, the pros that just stand out there. I mean, I could get into this. But, you know, but you can't just stand there and just tell a guy he's getting better anymore. You got to be able to prove it, and you got to be able to show it to him. And I mean, I think that's as big a part of technology as it is the information that it gives us. Like, to me, because I feel like I had such a good upbringing, like, certainly it's refined my information. I don't know that it's changed what I teach, but it's dramatically helped me prove to students if I was doing a good job. And let's face it, there's times I've gotten fired because I didn't do a good job.
Well, I think as we all have taught a bunch of golf, I think the more you teach and the more students you get, the more you're going to get fired. I mean, it's hard, you know, and people want success a lot of times quicker than you can make success happen. I mean, success in golf takes time, you know, and getting, you know, high profile athletes to be patient is not one of the easiest things in the world to do. For sure, you know. I mean, they all want it. They all want it right now, and they all think they're just one little piece of information away from being great. And they might be, but you know, typically it's a lot more hard work away from being great than it is a little tidbit of information. And I'm not saying that
my
information doesn't help.
My last piece of information is going to be too, going along with like, there's no shortcuts. There's ways you got to do things if you want to be good, whether it's playing or teaching, and you got to learn to do them. But also, to me, the best, the people that are the very best, when they fail, when it doesn't go well, they look in the mirror and they accept the right. They accept they say, "Hey, I didn't do a good enough job." Right. The guys that don't get there as players, in my opinion, and the guys that don't get there in teachers are the ones that are always they're always blaming somebody else for not getting there. Right. I couldn't get a hold of him enough. I couldn't see him enough, or we couldn't get this fixed, or whatever. Like, you know. Did you get in the gym like you were supposed to? Did you do the drills? Like, to me, the best people and the ones that excel look in the mirror and take ownership.
Well, I agree, and I think the best teachers are the ones that take a look at themselves first. You know, I've heard a million teachers over the years say, "Well, I gave the guy the right stuff; he just couldn't do it."
Yeah,
and you know. To that, I always go back with what Hank said. He used to say that if learning didn't happen, teaching didn't take place. Mm-hmm. And you know, so he always looked at himself, and he taught me to look at myself. I mean, if I can't get the guy's new grip may look perfect, but if he can't get the ball up in the air, I'm not doing a very good job. So, you know, you gotta make things happen. You gotta make things right. But ultimately, that ball's got to behave, and it's got to do better for the student to think they've had a successful lesson. And so, again, if learning didn't happen, teaching didn't take place.
Jackson, Wayne, that was awesome wrap up for you there. Wayne, Jackson, what about you?
Man, I love it all, and I appreciate you guys too, because I'm just soaking it up, and hopefully I'm being a decent enough sponge. I think my last parting shot too, one way that I've learned a bunch, whether you guys know it or not, is actually when I just send you guys videos. Mm-hmm. Like, because then, especially with, you know, I do it a lot with good players. Like, I shoot you guys a video before I work with somebody. And over time, I like to, like, I've gotten better at it, of having some sort of an educated guess of what you would say back to me, what they should do or what you see. All right, and I think that just clarifies my picture and cleans up my vision for what I'm trying to do with the student. And then, you know, I go into the lesson and it may be different based on the conversation, but that's been incredibly helpful to me. So I appreciate you guys sharing your information, but I also appreciate your time as well, which has been so important for me. So thank you.
Wayno, once again, glad you're starting to feel better and you're getting back out there on the tee. Golf world's better when you're out there on the tee. Appreciate you taking the time to sit in as always, plus all the fun and all the stuff we've had over the years. And Jackson, keep up all the great work, man. You're doing an awesome job. We're all proud of you. And guys, let's do this again. This was fun. I mean, we don't need to have it rain to decide to do this, you know.
Yeah, this is fun getting together. I enjoy it for sure.
It's kind of similar.
Let's
Wayne,
do one all on pet peeves.
Wayne, you remember when it used to rain and we'd go somewhere and have a pitcher of beer? So this is a little bit more productive than we used to do.
Absolutely. I think we're doing better, Tony.
Guys, this was great. We'll talk soon. I hope you enjoyed this edition of The Tour Coach and this conversation that we brought to you about playing, learning, and teaching the game of golf. We'll be back next week with another edition of The Tour Coach. In between now and next week, make sure you follow us on our social channels. You can always find me at The Dew Sweeper on Instagram, or go to our YouTube page where you'll see a scene and a video from my teachings daily on our YouTube channel. You can find that by looking up Tony Ruggiero and The Dew Sweepers on YouTube. Until then, make sure you follow and check out everything Tour Coach and all our sponsors, Srixon Cleveland Golf, Bushnell, Vineyard Vines, and Buick GMC. I'll be back next week to help all of us appreciate, learn, and enjoy the game of golf.